God's word, would you pray with me? We need his help to understand. Lord, by your Spirit, you are speaking to us all the time. Jesus said that he would come and dwell in us, that if we are in you, you would be in us, and that he would teach us all things. And Lord, we confess, sometimes we're listening and sometimes we're not. We ask you this morning, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts. Use your word. Confront us. Affirm us. Encourage us. Draw us toward yourself. Because we're here this morning and reflecting on your resurrected Son, Jesus, help us be more like him by your mercy. Thank you for your patience, Lord. You love us and draw us on. We ask you this morning to protect our ears to hear only what you are speaking. Protect my lips to speak only what you would say. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As I was thinking about coming out of the grave alive this week, a number of stories came to mind. Maybe you know some of these. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, on a snowy day long ago, a hole in the ground held an uncommon danger. There in the bottom of this hole was a lion. To battle with it on level ground would be a challenge. To fight it in a pit with no way out would be more than dangerous. But that is what happened when Benaiah, one of David's mighty men, went down into that pit on a snowy day to face down that deadly beast. Who would expect him to come out of that hole alive? It would take uncommon courage and more than a little help from the Lord. Benaiah came out alive. Benaiah's survival is reminiscent of the patriarch Joseph, who was betrayed by people who knew him best, his own brothers. He was thrown into a hole in the earth. And by the intervention of God, he came out alive, only to be sold for silver. But what his enemies intended for evil, God intended for good and the saving of many lives. I thought of Jeremiah. With uncommon courage, Jeremiah told the truth when all the other religious leaders were lying. For his righteous words, Jeremiah was placed in the ground, in a hole in the ground. He was sentenced to death and tossed in a pit, an old cistern where the water had turned to muck. Immediately, he began to sink in that miry grave, and no one expected him to come out alive. However, God saved Jeremiah from death with a detachment of the king's soldiers standing at the entrance to that hole. I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You remember their story. Speaking of courage and the personal help of God, you remember them, how they stood for righteousness when all others bowed down to a beautiful and lifeless idol. They stood for the worship of God in spirit and in truth. And their faithfulness infuriated the arrogant leader. So, he made his smelting furnace much, much hotter, 7 times hotter than usual. And he threw these three down into that deadly hole, and no one, not even them necessarily, expected them to survive. But they were not abandoned by the Lord in that fiery moment. You remember what they said, the Lord can save us, but even if he doesn't, and he did not abandon them, to that fiery torment. There in that hole, the Lord himself appeared alongside them in their trial. They came out again, alive, unconsumed, uncharred, unsinged, miraculously rescued from hell. And while I was in Daniel, I thought of Daniel himself. Again, a righteous servant of God facing a conspiracy of jealous leaders. Daniel was renowned for his wise rulings and his faithful service to God. They couldn't find anything to accuse him of, no wrong that he had done. So his enemies trapped him in a phony new law. They made his righteous communion with God himself illegal. The king was cornered into condemning him. Even though he knew that Daniel was innocent of any crime, he was cast down into the earth to face the roaring lions seeking whom they may devour. No one expected Daniel to come out alive. But miraculously, the God who Daniel served continually rescued him. And with the help of an angel, those hungry beasts could not destroy Daniel. One more Old Testament story came to mind. In 2 Kings chapter 13, there, a nameless dead man. He'd been wrapped and prepared for burial. And as they were proceeding to the grave, some raiders came upon the party, and so he was hurriedly tossed into a grave. No one expected him to come out alive. But there in the tomb, something miraculous happened. The body touched the bones of the prophet Elisha. And God raised that man from the dead. He came out of the tomb alive. He went in dead. He came out alive. And who can forget Jesus' dear friend Lazarus? Sick, dying, dead, and buried for 4 days. All were convinced that Jesus arrived too late for help. No one expected Lazarus to live again. Dead people don't do that. But there at the graveside stood the resurrection and the life. There he was. And moments later, that corpse was standing alive at the tomb entrance. A dead man, made alive again by the resurrection and the life. He came out of that grave alive. There's a string of examples, of parallels, of illustrations from history. People who were doomed, who were down in the pit, put into a hole in the earth. A couple of them literally dead. But God did not abandon these souls to the grave. Defying all expectations, these miraculous survival stories are only an example of what God would do. In Luke 24 this morning, we read about what they found when they got to the tomb. And our scripture in verse 12 ends with an empty tomb and a confused disciple. Some of your scriptures read, marveled at it. Mine reads, confused about what had happened. What happened here? The angels told the women what happened. They tell them that in the first few verses. Then the women hurry back and tell the apostles what happened. And did the apostles believe them? No. That sounded to them like nonsense. What are you talking about? So the disciples, in John we read it was John and Peter who went there together, they went to see for themselves, but no one could believe what was right in front of their eyes. They couldn't believe it. No one expected Jesus would come out of that grave alive. Nobody. It took a personal encounter with the Lord Himself to convince them otherwise. And the rest of Luke 24 is about those encounters. If you were to read on, you would see there we have the account of those men on the road to Emmaus, walking along and talking about the terrible things that just happened in Jerusalem. And on their way, they meet a man. In all their hours of walking with him, while he taught them about the Old Testament and how it pointed to the Christ and what God would do with him in Jerusalem, they didn't realize it was him. It wasn't until he broke the bread for them in verses 30 and 31 that they finally recognized the living Christ. So what did they do? They hurried back to tell the others. Everyone wants to spread the news, this incredible news, that the dead Jesus came out of the tomb alive. And by the time they got there, he had already met with Peter. It says so in verse 34. And then he appeared to all of them together. And with him right there in their presence, did they believe? Did they? What does it say? It says, verse 37, they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Must be a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your mind? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself? Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. So he offered his wounds. He offered his body. He showed himself to them. He let them experience him with their senses. He's real. He's alive. He's no ghost. Was that enough? And when he had said that, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still, what's it say? Did not believe. They still disbelieved because of joy and confusion or marveling. And he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in front of them. So if you didn't believe that I was real before, have you ever seen a ghost have lunch with you? Right? He ate, he swallowed, he consumed food right in front of them. All these evidences. See, dead people don't do this. And they knew Jesus was dead. He went into the tomb dead. He came out alive. Patiently, Jesus showed them his wounds. Patiently, he ate and drank in their presence. Patiently, he reminded them of all his promises to rise from the dead. Patiently, he opened their hearts to believe. That's what it says. Did you see that there? The Lord opened their hearts to believe. Verse 45. And verse 46, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Beginning in Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. And aren't you glad that he took the time to convince those people so they would tell the news to every nation? My nation is literally on the other side of the world. Those disciples were convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. And they told this good news to people who told that good news. To people who told that good news, who told that good news. Who told you. In your nation, far from there. That Jesus went into the tomb alive, or went into the tomb dead and came out alive beyond everyone's expectation. Now, in Acts chapter 2, I told you it would take a while to get there. Well, here we are. Those encounters with Jesus were so convincing that less than a month later, Peter gives a heartfelt and now spirit-filled message to non-believers in the streets of Jerusalem. And he started his sermon by telling them they'd done a dreadful, terrible thing. Look at verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God and mighty works and wonders and signs did through him, that God did through him in your midst, as you himself know. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified him and killed by the hands of lawless men. You crucified him. Peter told the crowd the first part of the good news, right? What's the first part? Jesus died for your sins. He died. He died by crucifixion. You all remember it. It happened right here. You were all a part of it. That's what he's telling them there in the streets. He told them Jesus was dead. 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 Through conspiracy and betrayal, the righteous one was unjustly sentenced to death. His judge was cornered into condemning the faithful servant by the jealousy and lies of religious leaders. Jesus was crucified by Jews and Gentiles. Who are the Jews and Gentiles? Everybody. They worked together to oppose God's own appointed Savior. But God did not abandon him to the grave. Let's read on. Verse 24. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is in my right hand, and that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh will also dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to the grave or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness in your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. So Peter says, this praise song of David was never about David. They knew David was still in his tomb. They could still go there to the tomb, and it still had David in it. David was not writing about that when he says, you will not let your Holy One, you will not abandon him to the grave or let your Holy One see decay. He was clearly speaking of another. What other? Verse 30. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he had not abandoned to the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not descend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. Peter taught the crowd that this praise song was never about David. David was speaking of another who would escape the hold of death. The coming ruler who would live forever. The one that would put in a hole in the ground, and by God's miraculous intervention, he would come out alive without ever rotting. It's a nasty picture, isn't it? The reality for all of us that go into the grave. Not for him, because God did not abandon him to the grave. He didn't leave him there long enough for that to happen. What David saw from afar, the apostles saw firsthand. This Messiah of God was not abandoned to the grave. He went into that pit to face down the roaring lion, who is seeking who he may devour. He faced death on our behalf. He survived the tomb. He conquered our enemies. Against all expectations, he came out alive. He was not left in the ground to rot. He survived that by God's miraculous hand. What Joseph and Benaiah and Jeremiah and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and a nameless corpse and Lazarus all hinted at has happened. God can raise the dead. Do you believe it?
Yes.
God does raise the dead. Do you believe it?
Yes.
God has raised this specific crucified dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he has, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Son of God, will never die again. And in his resurrection, Peter proclaimed that he has been made Lord, Master, and Christ. He has been exalted to a place no one else has ever been, nor can ever be. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, our resurrected King said this, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one." That's the ongoing, never not living one, living one, forever and ever. "I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and hell." Jesus accomplished this for us. And just as every unexpected rescue, every coming out of the pit alive, pointed us to the coming Messiah, so now his coming out of the grave alive points to our resurrection. There is coming a day, Jesus said, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who hear will live. As surely as Jesus lives, we will live. No one expects that. What a surprise that would be. But that is the promise. And the down payment on that promise is the living Lord Jesus Christ. One day when they put you in a hole, when you face death, you are not facing it alone. Jesus has already been there. He's been there and through it, and he came out of it for you. That victory is won, and that victory is yours through faith in him. So Peter gave this message, and the people heard it. And how did they respond? What should we do? If what you're saying is true, we're in big trouble. What should we do? See it in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone from whom the Lord our God calls to himself.'" What do we need to do? Repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus. This one who died and rose again, that's our response to Him. Turn away from where we're going. Turn to Him. Get our salvation and our hope and our resurrection from Him. It's the only place. The one who went dead into the grave and came out alive wants to take you with Him. And if you've never trusted Him, if you've never put your faith in Him, please, friends, do it today. He's our conqueror, our death-conquering Savior. And He calls you to life in Him through the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is risen.
Amen.
Let's pray.